You've probably noticed by now that in your bulletin, the title for today's message is, Where's the Salt? I'm not asking about table salt either. I'm asking about where's the salt in the Christian today? Last week, you remember what the title was? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you and I, because of us, because of the church, because of Christians? Is anybody going to be there? And today I've been wrestling with this in this new year. I've been wrestling this within my soul and in our churches, and I hope that you are wrestling with it as well and asking yourself, where is the salt of Christianity today? You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, I referred to Matthew 5:13. Remember last week? Matthew 5:13 talks about us being the salt of the earth. Let me read it for you in the Message translation. I suspect that most of you don't have a Message Bible, but I like it. I don't know that we have that one, do we, Tim? Outstanding. We have the Message on the big screen. Here's what it says. Followers of Christ. Remember now, he's talking to those that will follow him. Let me tell you why you are here, Jesus said. Let me tell you, Christians, why you're in America today, why you're in your communities, why you're in your churches, why you're where you're at. Let me tell you why you're here today. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, Jesus said, how will people taste godliness? And again, he's saying, if you lose your saltiness, you've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Remember last week? We looked at the New King James Version, and we saw some different language there that said, it's no good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And I said to you last week, and I'm challenging us again today, I don't want to be no good for nothing and trampled underfoot as the salt of God. You know what? As I read through the New Testament, I see the Acts. I read the Acts. I see the letters to the churches, and I see a church that the Christians and a church that looked like Christ followers. I see people on fire, ignited by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm wondering today, and I'm wrestling in my spirit with this, in myself and in our churches today, I'm wondering if way too often Christians do not look like Christ followers today. We look just like the world. And I'm wondering, and I'm asking myself, do I, Jim, and do we walk like Christ? Do we talk like Christ? Do we pray like Christ in our churches today? I'm asking myself if we're doing that, if we're being the salt of the earth. Jesus has called us to be the salt of the earth. And I suspect we get busy doing this and we get busy doing that and we get wrapped up in the world and the worldly things and we forget that we're the salt of the earth. And we begin to lose our saltiness. And if we lose our saltiness, Jesus asks us, how will the people taste godliness if the church has lost its saltiness? Our walk doesn't match our talk too oftentimes. Yes, I'm a Christian, Pastor Jim. And on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, my walk is like the world. And I'm wondering with myself and with our churches, does our walk match our talk? Because if our walk doesn't match our talk, nobody is going to see Christ in Christians. You know what Jesus said in the New Testament? He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Our walk isn't matching the talk. And he says, again, your lips worship me, but your hearts are far from me. And I ask myself, where is the salt? Where is the salt in our churches, in my life, in your lives today? Where is the salt of Jesus? Listen to what Leonard Ravenhill wrote in one of his books. He said, we need revival, God's way of revival. Spirit-born, heaven-directed, earth-shaking, hell-robbing revival. It's not important to the church and to the society in America. It's imperative. Amen. I believe he's right. The church, you see, is a living, breathing organism of God followers. The church, true followers, I believe we need to come to life and we need to come to saltiness now. Or, as I said just a few weeks ago, we are going to see judgment and Babylon. We need to come to life and be led by the Spirit and be the salt of the earth. Eternity depends upon it for millions around us. The church needs to start caring enough about our neighbors and families and friends and co-workers and whatever else to tell them there's good news and it's Jesus. To tell them to repent and turn from our own way, from our old ways, invite Christ to take over. Or the church needs to come together. And I'm saying church, I'm not saying this building, I'm saying the body of believers. Of course we are part. Or, if we do not come together and come to life and tell people about the good news, countless millions will continue to drop into the ever unfilling appetite of hell. That's what's happening. Jesus said it. The Bible talks about it. Hell's mouth is wide open and hungry, insatiable, unsatisfying. And the church, the body of Christ, believers like you and I, need to start looking like, living like, acting like, walking like, talking like Jesus. Because that's His expectation of us. To look like Jesus. That's what John said in 1 John. That we might walk like Jesus. You can look sometime if you have a chance. Go to a search engine sometime and Google in sinners in the hand of an angry God and read Jonathan Edwards' passionate sermon about that. Or you can read Matthew 25 where Jesus starts to talk about gathering together the people of all time, of all races, of all languages, and separating them. Verse 41, he begins to talk about separating them and talks about judgment. And I believe that unless the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, begins to come to life in the Spirit of the living God, countless millions around us will continue to go headlong into the eternal expanse and torment of hell. And I ask myself, where, oh, where is the Christian church that is commanded to be the salt of the earth? Listen to the word of the Lord from Hosea and see if these words sound familiar to us today. Hosea chapter 4, just three verses. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Or he could be saying, you people of Motley or Leader or Browerville or somewhere else. Listen to the word of the Lord, you people, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. He brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. In other words, simply put, he's saying, I have a problem with your behavior. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, God said. Everyone who dwells there will waste away. And I ask myself, where is the salt of Christianity today? You know, there's a whole bunch of studies being done. They ask this set of questions to somebody that says, yes, I'm an evangelical Christian, I'm born again. And then they ask the questions of somebody that says, no, I'm really not there. And in 78% of their answers, they're the same. There's no discernible difference between somebody that says I'm a Christian and somebody that says I'm not. Our lifestyles, our behaviors, 78%, there's no discernible difference. How, I ask myself, can God respond to our prayers when the church has sin in the house? I ask myself that. And I find myself repenting on a daily basis for myself and for our great nation and even for our churches, because we in America and American churches have broken every commandment, and typically we do it every week, every one of them, and we need to repent because lukewarm will not cut it. We know the story about lukewarm. I will vomit you out of my mouth. God doesn't have time for lukewarm churches. Judgment will come unless we repent. Collectively and individually, unless we repent. Listen again to the word of the Lord from Jude. This is in the New Testament. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And Jim, you say, "Jim, I'm not that ungodly." We have broken, dear ones, we have broken the Ten Commands on a regular basis. And if we want to throw in a few more, like pride and greed and selfishness and anger and all those others that Jesus talked about, well, we'll throw them in too. We have broken the commands of God, and we need to repent or judgment will come, the Bible says over and over. Judgment will come. And I ask myself, Jim, and churches in America, churches of God, people of God, are we listening to what the Spirit says, to what the Word of God says? Oh, followers of Christ, I ask us, I ask myself, is my prayers, are our prayers collectively any threat to hell at all? Does the foundations of hell tremble when God's people pray today, or do they just laugh us off because they say they're not serious about it anyway? Ravenhill asked the question, does hell shudder at the prayers of God's people, or are there any prayers to shudder at? I think that's a legitimate question. God's people, you and I, brothers and sisters, must get earnest in our saltiness. For the kingdom of God is at stake, and millions of souls are at stake. Somebody told me just the other day, I wonder, you know, if our prayers are doing anything to the confines and the torments of hell. Do they shudder when our people pray? And somebody told me just the other day, Jim, I think there's more praying going on in the casinos than there on the church house. And I'm not talking about casino church either. I'm talking about the casinos where you're pulling on the one arm bandit and saying, "Oh Lord, help me win the big one." That is not of God. I'm not going to say any more about that, but I believe they could be right. Pulling on the bandit, saying, "Oh Lord, maybe I can strike it rich now." And we're not spending that kind of time in prayer and that kind of earnestness for lost souls around us. Again, from Ravenhill, in his book, Revival, God's Way, he says this. True revival is God showing up. I like that. We've talked about that, haven't we? True revival is God showing up. His quote goes on. It is God coming to the aid of his weakened and sick church. And evangelism, brothers and sisters, is that revived church going to a world dead in sin and under God's divine power pulling down the strongholds of Satan. I like that. That's the revived church. Praying earnestly, walking in the light, walking in the newness of the Spirit, evangelizing those that may not know Christ. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a couple things. Are you grieved at the worldliness of the church? I am grieved. I'm part of it, and I'm grieved about us. I am grieved about the worldliness of the church. The New Testament church set apart. They were recognizable because of the Spirit of the living God in them. Because of committing their lives to Christ, people knew, oh, there's one of them Jesus followers. People knew because they were dying for their faith. They were not willing to say, "Nope, I'm not following him." They were willing to say, "I will follow him unto death." People recognized the Christians in the first century because they were Christ followers. Are you grieved today at the worldliness in the church today? Are we grieved at the toleration of sin in the church? God is a holy God, brothers and sisters. He has an expectation of His church. He has an expectation that we are holy people. The writers of Hebrews said, without holiness, no one will see God. He has an expectation of us to be a salty people, to be a holy people. Are we grieved at the prayerlessness in the church today? You say, Jim, you're not all that positive this morning. Remember what I said last week? God is more concerned about your and my righteousness than our happiness. Yes, He wants us to be happy, but He is more concerned about your eternal destination than our happiness. He is more concerned about our walk and our talk with Jesus than when we look and act and talk like the world. I love the church. I love this church. I love what God is doing in this church, in your lives, and some of you are from different churches, in your churches. But brothers and sisters, time is running out on humanity. And if the church doesn't get salty, continued millions will continue to go to fall into the gaping mouth and hunger of hell because the church wasn't doing what we have been called to do. Turn with me to Matthew 17 for a couple verses. Matthew 17, the story is very familiar to you. The disciples had tried to cast out a demon out of a young child. And they came back to Jesus, and in verse 18 of Matthew 17, it says, "And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." 19, and the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Listen to what He said. Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." This is Peter. This is Paul. Or this is Peter and John and James. These men, when they became filled with the Holy Spirit of God, these men died for the cause of Christ. And yet in a point in their lives, and I believe in a point in our churches today, it is because of our unbelief. We don't see miracles. We don't believe it. We don't expect it. We have no expectation of it. "Because of your unbelief," Jesus said, "for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I like that part. Nothing will be impossible for us, O Church of God, when we get serious in our walk with God. I'm afraid, though, but because of our unbelief, in our churches today, I'm afraid because of our faithlessness. I'm afraid because of our prayerlessness, we're not seeing God work. I'm afraid because of our worldliness, we're not seeing the miracles and the handiwork of God that we could if we would only surrender to Him and get serious in prayer with Him. I think there is so much more that we're missing because we're not obedient. I think someday, assuming we have been faithful and we get to glory with Him, we will see the unused blessings. I said this before. I believe it's true. The Almighty, the Creator of the universe, is so powerful and so magnificent. He has got blessings upon blessings upon blessings, I believe, for His church that are unused. Because we're not serious. We're not the salt of the earth. I hope and pray that our hearts are like Paul's, who said in Romans 10, chapter 1. I pray this is our heart. He said simply, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for you is that you would be saved." I hope and pray that is the heart's desire of the church today. The church today, when He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," Paul was saying, is that they might be saved. Is that your heart's desire today, brothers, sisters? That people around us, people in our church houses, our families will be saved? Oh, I ask myself, where? Oh, where, Church of God, is the salt? I fear too often we in the churches are too busy having bazaars and bingo to point people to Jesus. We don't want to judge anybody. I fear we've forgotten the words to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law when somebody is overtaken in a sin. I fear that in the church today, under the umbrella of the church, we are too busy debating theological issues and doctrinal thoughts, all the while countless millions are headed to a godless eternity. I fear too often we get to fighting and even church separations because of the color of the carpet or the color on the walls or the curriculum that we couldn't agree on, while our neighbors are 1 foot closer to judgment that says, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I don't know who you are." I believe that the Church of God, of which we are part, should be on our knees in repentance and pleading for souls of our families, our churches, our neighbors, our co-workers. I feel to be the salt, we should be strategizing in prayer. How do we hit or touch base with every home from, say, Lincoln to Leader and Pillager to Staples, every one of them with the gospel message of Christ? And further, because some of you live further than that, we should be seeking the face of God and pleading for forgiveness and revival. We should be longing, like the church used to do, to spend all night on our knees at the altar of God in prayer for souls that are going to a godless eternity. We, the church, need to get salty. We need to be the light if the world around us is ever going to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I get passionate about the kingdom of God. I weep like Jesus wept over Jerusalem for our churches and our people that don't know Christ. I love this church, and I love what God is doing in hearts all over these communities, and I love the bride of Christ called the church. But we in the church, brothers and sisters, we in the church, we followers of Jesus need to wake up to the Spirit of the living God. We need to burn with the Spirit's fire. We need to burn with a passion that loves God with a lot more than lip service. We need to burn with a desire to see people repent and come to Christ. I've said it over and over, Christianity is not a 60-minute gig on Sunday mornings. Christianity and walking with Jesus is not another club that I show up to on Sunday mornings. It's a way of life. I have surrendered to the living God. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk like Jesus. I want people to see the light of Jesus shining in me. It's not a club that I check into and say I'm here and check back out of for the rest of the week and look and live and talk and walk like the world. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's men and women. It's boys and girls passionate about their relationship with Christ. It's men and women and boys and girls looking forward to heaven with Jesus with a longing, not saying, "Hold on, Lord, I'm not ready," or "Hold on, Lord, I got some things to do." A people longing for the expanse of heaven and the glory of God, and to take everyone that we can come in contact with along with us. That's the salty church. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 7:21, you know the verse. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Have you wrestled with that? Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, Jesus said. It's not Jim's words. It's not your pastor at home's words. It's the words of Jesus. What's he saying? But him and her that does the will of my Father in heaven. I'm sold out to Christ. I am a follower of him. I surrender to him. Forgive me, Lord, of my wretchedness. I need Jesus. I need to do the will of the Master. Not everybody that says unto him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that get serious with Jesus. The church that gets salty, remember the words again from Revelation that Jesus said to John, write these down and tell that church, remember the heights from which you have fallen. Remember you were in love with Christ, and now you're in love with the world. You look just like the world. Remember the words that Jesus said to those churches. Let me close with these verses from Isaiah, and you tell me how they sound to you. This is the words of God through Isaiah to Judah. Here's what he says, Israel. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have been weary of me, O Israel. I think he's saying that about America today. You're not calling upon me, oh, American churches. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. He's simply telling his people, you haven't been obedient. You haven't followed me. My heart aches and hurts over this next statement because it's statement true for our churches today, I fear. But you have burdened me with your sin. You have wearied me with your iniquities. He's willing to blot out our transgressions if we will repent and come to him and be the salt of the earth, if we will do what he has asked us to do. I can't even see my words anymore. But somewhere there he says, put in remembrance of me. Churches in America. Men and women of God, he says, I need you to be the salt of the earth. I need you to be passionate about Jesus. I need you to be the light in more than just Sunday morning for an hour. Put me in remembrance, he says. Let us contend together. State your cause that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. There's a lot of good things that God is doing in America and in American churches in spite of our slumber, in spite of our unsaltiness. There's a song in the book that I was going to have us sing, but I'm going to read you those last those words in that song instead, and then we're going to sing that last song that our praise team led us in. On page 482, there's a little song that we used to sing out at Leader quite a bit, and I don't know, you probably sung it too, but it really puts it on the line for us. It really asks us a few things. It says, am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name. There's a wide gap there, isn't there? Am I a soldier of the living Christ, or am I in the other camp that blushes to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. That's a great little song with some great words. It challenges us. Am I a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I in the soldier's army? Am I the salt that he has called us to be? We're going to stand together and sing this song that they led us in, this last song. I don't remember the name of it. I just remember the words. And so we're going to stand together and sing this song together. And if you're not where you want to be, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you come down here? We'll pray together. We'll pray about the salt in your life. If you don't know Christ, if you're not born again, then I'd like you to come down here and pray to receive the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's sing together, I mean. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we wonder why you've loved us at all. Why you're willing to forgive us over and over. Thank you, Father, for loving us that way. Thank you for being merciful to us, a sinful people. Forgive us, Father, for not being the salt that you have called us to be in our communities, in our families, in our churches. Father, even today there are people wrestling with their relationship with you. People here, perhaps. Even today, Father, there are those in our churches, certainly in our communities and in our families, that say, well, I know about God, but they're not walking with you. And so, Father, I just pray that in this year, even in this week, we, your children, would be the salt of the earth that you have called us to be. I pray, O God, that you would put people in our paths that need Jesus so that we might tell them about the good news. I pray that we would humble ourselves and seek you in prayer and fasting and thanksgiving and repentance so that we might hear from you, so that you might forgive us of our sin and that you might heal our land and heal our churches. I pray today, Father, that if someone here is wrestling with, am I saved? Am I born again? Is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I pray, O God, that your Spirit would continue to knock loudly on their heart, that they might say, come in, Lord Jesus. Forgive me and come into my life and take control and be born of God. Be born again. And if we have been there and done that, I pray that we would start letting your Spirit control in ourselves as individuals and in our churches. I pray that we would get to be a salty people for Jesus, to the glory of the living God. I pray you would direct us, Father, to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.